Now, against the background of the ongoing war in Gaza and the famine-like conditions that now exist in the Strip, we've seen in the last few days moves by groups of workers to show their support for Palestine and to pressure their employers and superiors into doing the same. On Wednesday, third-level staff and students called on Irish universities to cut all ties with their Israeli counterparts and for the presidents of their colleges to be united in their condemnation of the conflict. But we're going to begin with a motion that was taken at the biennial conference of the Communication Workers Union this week, calling for support for any unpost worker who might refuse to handle Israeli mail. I've been speaking to Sean McDonough. He's General Secretary of that union, and I began by asking who brought forward this motion and what it entailed.
It's the Dublin Mail Centre branch is the biggest sorting centre on posts. And essentially what they've called for, it's a reaction to, you know, this conflict and the genocide in Gaza. And what they want us to do, and the union has agreed to do, is support people who in their own conscience might make a decision not to handle the Israeli mail. And they've also said that in the context of that happening, that they wouldn't want those people to be subject to disciplinary action. And that's really what the motion is.
And was it passed unanimously?
It was passed unanimously. Now, it was passed in the context of, first of all, the CW having a very proud track record of providing humanitarian aid. Secondly, that postal workers provide and take pride in providing the services and keeping communities connected. But in a situation where, you know, lights, emergency, water, even aid is not allowed to go through by Israel, you know, the unions could not, in all conscience, oppose it. So it was accepted. But it was accepted on the basis that there would be a number of things you'd have to do once it would be policy. The first thing we would have to do is talk to unpost management. And the second thing we would also do is talk to our friends in the trade union movement in the area and also to our union affiliates, Union Global.
And how would it work? Is it that if something comes with an Israeli postage stamp on it, originating in Israel, it just won't be handled in mail centres? Will that also include mail going to Israel?
Well, to be honest with you, that's not entirely clear at the moment because this is uncharted waters. And what we will have to do, as I say, is talk to unpost management because it is, you know, a very serious offence. It is to delay mail. It is could lead to not only serious disciplinary proceedings, but to legal proceedings. So we'd have to talk to the company about that. And secondly, as I say, we would also need to talk to our friends in the trade union movement. I've met a postal representative from Gaza myself, described the very difficult circumstances in which they are living and operating in, and how we might do that. And then can we get, you know, international assistance around this? And as to what kind of mail products would we want to not handle? Because
yeah, well, that's what I was going to ask you. Would it be, you know, are you going to limit this to mail going to the embassy, you know, mail from official sources, or is it going to be just personal mail as well?
Well, that's what we would have to work out, and that's what we'd have to decide upon. And as a union, you know, we wouldn't want an individual to just, you know, take a decision, no matter how strong their conscience was, without all of this having been worked through, talked through, discussed, and how it might operate. Because there are, and there has to be, certain levels of mails that would have to go through, people would want to get through into the area. So, yeah, that's something to be worked out going forward.
Sure. I mean, you'd be aware that, you know, Tom Hand, the father of Emily, who was taken hostage and subsequently released, he has family in Ireland. He might want to write to them. Or Jennifer Dampty, the mother of Kim, who was killed in the attack on the music festival, also has, you know, family in the Midlands as well. I mean, if those people wanted to correspond with their family, could you see why it might be a cause of hurt or controversy even if that mail wasn't delivered?
And that's why we would not do that, and that's not why we don't want to do that, and that's why we would have to think this through, work this through, and talk to everybody associated with providing the service, and obviously the recipients. But I can give one assurance that certainly will not be the case. We will work this through with the company and with our trade union colleagues.
Right. And Unpost didn't want to be drawn on this when we contacted them. We'd asked them to give us a statement on this. They just said that Unpost notes the recent motion passed at the Communication Workers Union Conference. Unpost's role as the National Mail Service comes under the Communication Regulation Postal Services Act 2011, which requires us to handle all mail on a non-discriminatory basis.
And that is a fact. That is the case. And as I said, we pride ourselves in Unpost our members do, providing services and keeping communities connected, as evidenced in the COVID period. So yeah, we need to and want to do that. But this is, you know, utter and sheer frustration from people who have found it very difficult and cannot comprehend how governments can't get through to Israel to allow a ceasefire happen, to turn on water, to turn on electricity, to turn on communications, and to provide humanitarian aid for the people who need it. And in those circumstances, it's a reaction by people say, enough is enough. Can anything else be done? And so that's why the motion was passed. But yes, there's a consequence then of how you might proceed with getting that policy implemented.
And that was Sean McDonough there, General Secretary of the CWU, speaking to me earlier. Now, I want to introduce you to the political panel joining us here in studio this weekend. They're Pippa Hackett, Minister of State at the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine and Green Party Senator. Darren O'Rourke, Sinn Féin TD for Meath East and his party spokesperson on climate action, communication networks and transport. And Alice Mary Higgins, Independent Senator. Minister Pippa Hackett, good afternoon to you. Thanks for coming in. What's your reaction to the move by the Communication Workers Union and the call that has been made by the workers in the Dublin Mail Centre?
Look, I think it's indicative of, you know, the wider public opinion on what's happening in Gaza. And, you know, clearly, you know, the postal workers themselves are disgusted at what is happening and, you know, feel the need to act in some way to show that. And I think that is, as I said, reflective of the wider public opinion in Ireland. I mean, I've just come from the Green Party convention in the RDS and, you know, the situation in Gaza is always at the top of, you know, most people's conversations there. So I think it's reflective of that. And as you heard from the interview, it's not clear yet how it may or may not manifest itself. But, you know, this is...
In principle, would you support the move or would you have
concerns?
Well,
I think, look, it's going to be difficult. And, you know, you highlighted issues about personal mail. And in fact, it's a legal requirement to deliver mail. But I mean, it seems that that detail hasn't been ironed out even yet. You know, if they are, what action it might look like. It may be selective, you know, withholding of mail. But all the same, there are challenges there within the legal requirements to make sure mail is delivered. So, but I do think it's a strong stance from them, indicative of just the level of repulsion as what of what is going on in Gaza.
Right, and you wouldn't have a particular view yourself on the rightness or otherwise of the motion passed at the CWU conference.
Look, I think it's a matter for the postal workers themselves and on post to deal with whatever decision is made. But I can see why they're doing it.
Okay, Darren O'Rourke. Motion duly passed, but is it workable? You heard some of the issues from Sean McDonough there.
Yes, some of the details obviously will have to be worked out in terms of the practicalities, and it's a motion amongst the workers. Obviously, they need to engage with management in relation to it. But to make the point, you know, Irish workers have a very proud tradition in standing up against apartheid regimes and standing up against genocide. I think back to the Dunstores workers in the 80s who led the way in that campaign. I think it really is a case, and I would say fair play to the workers and extend solidarity to them, of the workers.
And even if it involved them breaking the law, would you support them? Because the Dunn's workers obviously refused to handle commercial goods that originated in South Africa, fruit typically. But would you support these workers here in not delivering mail?
Look, the detail of the legalities, the technicalities and that need to be worked out. But I think Mr. McDonough put it well, that this is born of a place of frustration. And I think workers, in fairness to them, want to play their part, want to use the position that they have to contribute to the pushback against Israel's slaughter in Gaza. I think that frustration also extends to what they're seeing on the international stage, and also I would say from their own government. And there's a number of measures that the government could take to advance the case of Palestine further. And we've in Sinn Féin have set out and continue to push, for example, the recognition of the state of Palestine. We've a new Taoiseach in place, and we need to see more than rhetoric in relation to this. We need to see sanctions, we need to see a ceasefire, and we need to see real intervention at an international level.
All right. Should it be applied to, you know, other countries that where there's obviously issues of international controversy, Russia's illegal invasion of Ukraine, or, say, the human rights record of China with the treatment of the Uyghur people in Xinjiang, or, you know, and back in the day, the US invasion of Iraq without a UN mandate. Should workers not deliver mail in situations like that?
Well, I think the workers are entitled. They have, you know, they're unionized. They have a collective voice. They have their own decision making, and they can do that, and they're entitled to do that. And I think the process then of when and how that is applied can be worked out. But I think there is as I said, a long tradition of workers standing in solidarity with their counterparts all over the world, and in this case, in Palestine.
All right, Alice Mary Higgins, is this thought through? There are Arab-Palestinian citizens of Israel. There are, you know, private individuals who work here who may profoundly disagree with the actions of their government. And there are, as I say, you know, people with Irish family links who live in Israel who may be corresponding with people here at home. Should they be affected by this?
Well, the detail of how it's operating and it's going to operate, as we've heard, is going to be worked out. But I think in looking downwards into that, we're losing the key message, which was the unions and the union workers in passing this motion, they sent a message that it shouldn't be business as usual. And the really important thing is, the problem is, it has been business as usual. It has been business as usual. You know, in the case of Russia, you mentioned Russia and its, you know, illegal invasion of Ukraine, there were sanctions. There have been no sanctions on Israel. And not just have there been no sanctions, but actually they continue to be given privileged extra advantages
but
in terms of trade.
Isn't the important thing the effectiveness of sanctions? And even if a motion is passed and then isn't workable, it has no practical effect.
Well, I would say people are taking the action they can see, but there are actions that would be effective. For example, the EU-Israel Association Agreement. EU is Israel's largest trading partner, almost a third of all their trade. If the EU was to be serious about the human rights clauses that say we shouldn't be trading unless there's human rights compliance, that's actually in that association agreement. If we followed through on those legal obligations, then we wouldn't have individuals or even representative groups or unions feeling that they had to take the signal. And just to come back on another really related piece, we are seeing unions taking some of the international law more seriously than national governments. So, for example, we know that unions in India, the water transport, they've refused to handle weapons because they are taking the call from the Human Rights Council for an arms embargo seriously. And yet we see countries, even including Ireland, still not taking action to stop arms going and transporting through Ireland, potentially to Israel.
Pippa Hackett, the moves by Ireland to try and get the Commission to trigger some of the human rights clauses of the association agreement with between Israel and the EU, the European Commission at the last point of asking had not looked into that, had not initiated that. What's Ireland going to do if it's ignored?
Well, I think Taoiseach Harris has said that he's going to press on the European Commission and Ursula von der Leyen for a response to that letter that the then Taoiseach Leo Varadkar and the Spanish Prime Minister wrote to Ursula some months ago, I suppose, at this stage. So that does need, the pressure does need to be kept on. I think it's unfair to sort of to portray Ireland as sort of doing nothing in this, because we have led out from the get-go on this, calling for ceasefires, calling for humanitarian aid access. And certainly for the past 6 months, we've been in intensive dialogue with a number of partners across Europe, Spain, Slovenia, Malta, on this formal recognition of Palestine. Recognition of Palestine. And we're being very, very proactive on a lot of these issues. And certainly, you know, from a national perspective, the recent announcement that ICIF is divesting from some Israeli companies, including some large banks there, I think all of that is to be welcomed. But we are a single actor. We have to get a collective approach from a European perspective. I think that's the number one that we need to be pushing on. And certainly then from the, like, it's disappointing yesterday that the vote at the UN Security Council, again, in terms of, you know, to see if Palestine can become a member of the UN Security Council, was defeated. And again, it's something we've been supportive of.
Sure, but I suppose that the Security Council, the Americans have used their veto to support Israel. In the European Union, other countries who have are likely to or have in the past certainly supported them robustly in this. But in terms of the sector action in Ireland, universities is one area. Academic staff and others have called for Irish universities to cut links in some instances with Israeli institutions, or calling on university presidents to make statements strongly condemning what's going on in Gaza at the moment. Do you have a view on that?
Well, I think, again, it's up to the individual institutions and individual presidents of those institutions to make a call on that. It's not really the role of government to say yes or no to that. I mean, there'll be all sorts of, there could be all sorts of implications for them. I'm not familiar with the relationships or what relationships we have from Irish institutions with Israeli ones and the academic side of things. But I mean, I think that's for the individual institutions to come up with those decisions. And, you know, they will make those decisions one way or the other.
And do you have a view as to whether or not a university should take a stance, or do you believe that universities should be more neutral in these situations?
I think it's entirely up to the universities. They may or may not receive funding for research. As I said, I don't know the details of what, you know, engagements there are. But it is up to those universities and the academics within them to decide that.
All right. Darren O'Rourke, do you think universities should take overt stances and have a position on situations like this, or should they be more neutral and facilitate discussion on campus?
Well, I think every institution, organisation, government needs to reflect on its position and ask itself, what its considerations are in terms of, and I think a lot of the considerations, you talk, for example, in terms of ISIF and investments and the fact that, you know, we didn't go further on and enact the illegal Israeli settlement divestment bill are questions in terms of interests, commercial interests or other financial interests, and to ask the question if those are the real drivers, the real motivators, that in terms of spheres of influence and the connections either with the United States or the European Union. I think we need to throw a really critical eye on our engagement at every single level with the state of Israel.
Right, so if the Horizon Fund from the European Union continues to provide funding to Israeli universities, should Ireland take the view, or Irish universities take the view, that they should not also take that funding by through the logic of guilt by association?
Well, I'm not going to make decisions for individual institutions. But what I would say is they need to consider every single involvement and use their platform, the same as the workers in the CWU and elsewhere, to use the platform and position that they have to outline their position clearly. And I think at the very least, that needs to be spelled out in terms of the role and the role that European finance has in Israel.
Alice Mary Higgins.
So first of all, yes, in terms of, I think, the universities do have a key role and they should be speaking out. And I think that that is what you do if you are neutral. So this idea of should we be being clear, neutral doesn't mean not doing anything. Neutral means you apply the same principles. For example, those principles of international law, those principles, and you apply them equally. You don't apply them on the basis of interests. You don't just apply them.
So what does a university taking a stance look like in terms of having a practical effect to either express solidarity or to exercise pressure?
Would be universities calling out, condemning the fact that every university in Gaza has been flattened or demolished. That the damage to the international world of the fact that the museums in Gaza have been flattened. It would be the kinds of measures we took in respect of Ukrainian students, of ensuring that students would be able to access pieces. And yes, in terms of the Horizon
funding. So just words?
No, these are not just words. It's around practical supports. It's around words. But yes, on the Horizon funding, be clear, no, we shouldn't be refusing the Horizon funding, but universities should be taking a stance against Israel accessing that. That is EU funding for EU countries, which Israel has been given privileged and unusual. We don't give Horizon funding to Bolivia, to Egypt. Why are we giving it to Israel when they're breaching human rights? And particularly, there's a danger at the moment. There are those who would like the Horizon funding to get linked further with the EU defence funding. So we're really in a danger zone whereby we see research fund that is for the good of Europe and society and the world widely being directed towards military aims. And I just want to say on the government, it's really important to say our dual use exports have gone up by 7 times. So there are things we can do. There's the divestment bill, there's the occupied territories bill. And really importantly, we have 1,000 flights that went through Europe, Ireland last year that were not inspected, and we have dual use goods.
Those are things we can do as a state.
Just to clarify that there is no airport in Ireland, whether it's Shannon or any other airport, that is being used to transfer weapons to the Middle East,
except would they apply for exemptions for carrying weapons?
No, they don't. They're not. There's no exemptions for that in terms of that foreign military and state aircraft. They're only permitted to land if they're unarmed. They're not carrying weapons. That's the clarity I've asked for and been told.
And just to make the point in relation to the divestment bill, when you introduced it, you said that the ISAF has withdrawn from some Israeli connections, including banks. There's the Sinn Féin bill, and it's supported by others, goes further than that. And really, like so many people across the country, they're asking the question, why do we not go further? Why?
Okay, all right. We got to take a break. We're back in a moment.
Saturday with Colm O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.